I mean, if we'd open our Bibles this evening to Deuteronomy chapter 22. I'd like to take one verse for our text. Deuteronomy 22. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and recognizing that your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because you, Father, are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are God, and you change not. Therefore, we ask that you would help us, Lord, in the understanding of thy word, and as we would take thy word and tie it in with the message that you have given us for this hour, so that we might understand the Alpha and the Omega, we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of the vineyard itself be defiled. God does not believe in hybriding. He didn't want the people to sow different seeds in the same vineyard, lest they be crossbred. From paragraph 52 of the spoken word is the original seed. Brother Brown said, what did Eve do? Hybrid it. Mixed it with something. You've got to take it the way that God spoke it. It won't mix with nothing. No, sir. Jesus one time said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, and I'm told that a mustard seed won't hybrid. You can't mix it with nothing. You can mix other grains, but you can't mix mustard seed, see? Because it won't hybrid. And if you got that kind of faith, what kind of faith? The one that won't hybrid. That's one taking one word of God. Now, before we continue, I want you to notice that Brother Branham is hammering at this idea of hybriding and how wrong it is to hybrid. He's telling us that to crossbreed is not scriptural, and in nature it causes harm to the plants. And so too in the spiritual it also causes a perversion of the truth. Now, if hybriding is so bad, where did it come from? Well, in the natural, it was a Catholic monk that invented cross-pollinization of seeds. Anybody remember who that was? They have a law named after this man. Well, he was an Austrian monk, and his name was Gregor Johann Mendel. And he lived between 1822 and 1884. And between 1856 and 1863, he cultivated and tested at least 28,000 pea plants in the monastery garden, and he focused one single, easily observed traits, then cross-pollinated the plants with great care and noted the types and frequencies of traits in their progeny. I want you to think about something. 1863. What else took place in 1863 in the United States? Somebody said it. What about him? What did he say in 1863 that set a certain people free? It was called the Emancipation Proclamation. What took place in 1963? God's Emancipation Proclamation, where he set his people free. Notice then, when the slaves were set free in America, the same year the slaves were set free is the same year Mendel brought, 100 years before, brought a mixing of the genes to create hybrid. But notice when he began to do this was in 1856. And notice in 1956, Brother Branham said, what, Derek? 1956. That's right. That America would deny the message. You see? Notice in the parallel between the 1856, the beginning of the hybridization, and 1956, a hybrid nation. 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation, and the finalization of the cultivation process that he had. 28,000 pea plants in a monastery garden. He focused on single, easily observed traits, then cross-pollinated the plants with great care and noted the types and frequency of traits in their progeny. His result presented in 1865 before the local Natural Science Society gave the first scientific description of the mechanism of heredity, and his summarized interpretations are today known as Mendel's laws. These laws define the basic behavior and relationship of genes, although Mendel used the word factors, in the transmission of hereditary traits. Now, had this monk known his Bible, he would not have done so. For in doing so, he has caused a great revolution in the natural science, but has perverted the gene strains of almost every food substance in the food chain, weakening the food chain by perverting it. And today, the food chain is so weak that the seeds must be chemically fertilized and sprayed in order to keep them pest-free and bacteria-free. They have no natural God-given immunity anymore. No natural protection is left for them. And they are what Brother Branham refers to as hothouse plants. From his sermon, Communion, Brother Branham preached in 1962, he said, like hothouse plants, you know, you take a hothouse, you take a plant out of the hothouse and you have to baby it. It don't know the weather. It doesn't know the sunshine and things. It's been covered over and babied. And that's what's the matter with too many so-called Christians. They're hothouse plants, that's right, subject to every bug that comes along. You know, it's only the delicate plants that has to be sprayed, the hybrid plants. You see, God himself warned us not to mess with cross-fertilization, as we read from our text in Deuteronomy 22, verse 9. Thou shalt not sow the vineyard with diverse seeds, and that means different kinds of seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed, which thou hast sown, and the fruit of the vineyard be defiled. So we're told not to mix various seeds together or to sow them in close proximity, because in the pollinization process, the plants will mix seeds and the fruits of the plants will become defiled. Now notice the word defiled that was used there. The word defiled means to make filthy or dirty, to pollute, to debase the pureness or excellence of. To debase the pureness or excellence of. In other words, to corrupt. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul said, that these men who had entered in among the church in the early days, in his day, that had done to the gospel that he had preached. By adding here and taking away there, they had polluted the gospel, thus introducing the people to another Jesus and another spirit. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 20 we read, and he said, I have hid my face from them, I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. And what is faith? Faith is revelation. So we have here a people who will not go by revelation and can't receive it. So they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Church and churchy. It's a social thing. The power of an endless life is gone. There is no change of life in them because they have no faith, a people with no faith. And the word froward was translated from the Hebrew word that means perverted. So it speaks of a perverted people, a corrupt people, where the life has left them, a people who cannot receive the truth for what it is, but they receive a twisted form of it. And that brings us back to Galatians 1 and verse 6, which we read the other day. Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They're removed from Christ. Christ is the message. It's not hair and styles and clothing and things that we eat and things that we do. It's the person of Christ. That's who we're to be conformed to the image of. And the message is Christ. And Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him unto another gospel, which he says is not actually another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he says, look, it's not another as though it's a different one altogether. It's just the same one that's been perverted. So you see this other seed that is being sown is being mixed with the original seed and is causing a perversion of the original that was in the seed. And so what Paul is saying here concerning his message is exactly what God had told man not to do concerning seeds in the natural. He said, don't put them in the same proximity, lest the pollination process corrupt the life that's in there. Now, the Message translation of Galatians 1 and 6 says, I can't believe your fickleness. How easily you've turned traitor to him who called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a variant message. And the word variant means having or showing variations. And to vary from the truth is to deviate from the truth. Therefore, these people were giving ear to deviant forms of the message that Paul preached. And in doing so, they had deviated from the original truth, which means they went into error. And the very life that was in the word that Paul preached wasn't in them. Then Paul says these variations are not minor variations either, you know. It is a completely another gospel. A different message than what I brought to you. It has become an alien message. It might as well not be a message to you at all because it's a lie about God. Yeah, that's what the translation says here. Those who are provoking this confrontation among you are turning the message of Christ on its head. So let me be blunt. If one of us, even if an angel from heaven, were to preach something other than what we've already preached, the original, let him be cursed. I said it once, I'll say it again. If anyone, regardless of reputation or credentials, in other words, Brother Branham said it doesn't matter if they're priest, pope, bishop, cardinal, pastor, whatever he would be, evangelist, teacher, whatever he would be, no matter what his credentials are, if he preaches something other than what you received originally, let him be cursed. Do you think that I speak this strongly in order to manipulate crowds or curry favor with God or get popular applause? If my goal was popularity, I wouldn't bother being Christ's slave. Know this. I am most emphatic here, friends. This great message I delivered to you is not mere human optimism. I didn't receive it through the traditions, and I wasn't taught it in some school. I got it straight from God. I received this message directly from Jesus Christ. And from only one provided way by God, Brother Branham said, I want you to take this for a text. There's only one way provided by God for anything. One way God has provided to meet everything. Now, any other way besides this way would be perverted way to God. God can only have one way to do anything. His first way is always the only way that he can ever do it. For God making a choice or a decision must forever remain with that decision. And if he changes that decision for a better way, then it shows that God is not God. He's not infinite. He found something better than he knew at the first place. He doesn't change. He makes his ways perfect. His words are perfect. And any way that takes away or adds to anything that God has provided is wrong. I believe in the last book of the Bible called Revelation, it is written, if any man shall add one word or take a word from it, his part will be taken from the book of life. Now I want you to notice that Brother Branham and the Apostle Paul said to deviate or add to or take away from the way that God did it or said it brings a perversion. Also John said it. And Moses said it. And Jesus said it. Now the word pervert, because they said to do so will pervert it. And the word pervert means to cause to turn away from what is right, proper, or good. It means to corrupt. It means to bring to a bad or worse condition, to debase. To put to a wrong or improper use, it means to misuse. And that's a C note concerning corrupt, which means to destroy or subvert the honesty or the integrity of. It means to ruin morally or to pervert. It means to taint or contaminate, or it means to cause to become rotten or to spoil. To change the original form of. That's why the spoken word is the original seed. And we know that when something becomes rotten or corrupt, the life has gone out of it. And what life it now has is in an altered state, not like the original. From the fourth seal, Brother Branham said, those that mixed turned pale and go to death. It is perverting. It's perversion to mix the colors with white. You pervert the original color, is that right? If the original color, only color, is white, and you mix it with something, you pervert its real cause. Amen. Is that right? And if he is the white horse and he is the word, then to mix anything with that, any creed or any kind of a creed, add one word to it, take one word away from it, is to pervert the whole thing. Oh my. Keep me with the word, Lord. Truth and error. Oh my. No matter how good that is, truth and error cannot mix. It cannot mix. It's either thus saith the Lord or it's wrong. No matter what the Holy Father said it, St. Boniface or Archbishop of Canterbury, I don't know who said it. But if it's contrary to the word, it's a perversion. And from things wasn't so from the beginning, Brother Bram said, now we find out that when Jesus came, he found teachers that had taken the word of God and had perverted it to suit themselves. Isn't that usually the way it happens? People want to force a square peg in a round hole, and so they find something in the scripture that might remotely allow them to do it. And then they do it. He found teachers that had taken the word of God and had perverted it to suit themselves. They had taken the commandments of God and perverted it into a creed. Now remember, there's only one creator, and Satan is not a creator. And what is sin? Sin is unrighteousness, and unrighteousness is righteousness perverted. Maybe I'll make it clear. You're a mixed congregation. You listen to your doctor. I'm your brother. For a man to live with his wife is righteous. He's married to her. The same act with another woman is death. One brings life, the other is death. Unrighteousness is righteousness perverted. And what is a lie? It's a truth misrepresented. So that's what Jesus done. And what all of us will get into, as long as we take or add to and take away from God's word, is perverting God's word. So when Jesus come, he found out that they had taken God's word and they had perverted it, and they had made a tradition of men. He said, howbeit, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. He said, why do you change the word of God? By taking their traditions and changing the word of God, making it say something it really didn't say. So we hear Brother Bram continuing the spoken word's original seed in paragraph 52. He says, that's where so many evangelists crack up. We'll get to it in a little later. How they say, oh, we believe this, and they'll take that, and they believe that one word, and they can make that word work. But what about the other one next to it? Blessed is he that does all of his biddings. Amen. See? He will have the right to enter in the tree of life, for without are sorcerers, dogs, whoremongers, and so forth. Now, I got a mixed class here, but I got a lot of text here that's just really flat. So I want you sisters to understand. See, be sure to understand. Now, what's Brother Brown saying here? He says, that's where these evangelists crack up. What's he mean by that? Well, he says they can take one word, they can really preach that one word, make it work. It's like the Wall Street Jew. He can take sowing and reaping. He knows if you sow, you're going to reap. He can really focus on that principle of God, make it work for him. But then will he take all the word of God? No, he doesn't. So he's got fruits from that one word, from that one principle. But he doesn't have the other fruits. You know, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, not just one. Not just one. And the woman that had the 9, she didn't actually have the 10th. Remember the 10, Brother Bram said, the 10 silver coins, 9 of them were the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And what's the other fruit? It's a teaching for the season. It's a doctrine. You see? Now, in getting back to what Paul was saying in Galatians chapter 1, I'd like to read it again, in the beginning of verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, notice here that Paul is telling us that these people had become removed from the gospel as he had taught it unto another gospel. Now, this word another was translated from the Greek word heteros, which means to be of a different nature. Now, to know the nature of anything is very important, because every seed will bring forth after its nature. And the nature signifies what kind of life is in it. And what Paul is saying here is that although you might be using my words to say what you are saying, Yet a very different nature is coming forth, and it is affecting the way that you believe, because notice in the very next verse he says, which is not another, it's not exactly another one, an allos, a different one altogether. You see, it's not an allos, but it's not a different one altogether. It's not a heteros. You see? The word of allos means totally different altogether. And Paul says you have, but it's not totally different altogether, but it's a heteros. It's of a different nature. You've been removed to one of a different nature, yet not a totally different message. And then he continues by saying, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he says, look, it's a perverted gospel. Well, if it's perverted, it had to start out as the original. Something had to happen to alter it, to deviate, to cause it to deviate, or to pervert. Now, in 2 Corinthians 11 and 4, he says, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, a different one altogether, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, a hetero spirit, which we have not received, of a different nature, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, in this case, they were preaching an allos Jesus, and thus receiving a hetero spirit, one of a different nature, because their gospel has become a heteros gospel, a mixed gospel. That's what the word heteros means. Mixed. Heterosexual means, you know, two different sexual orientation. I mean, a husband-wife type of thing. So, notice he said, because the gospel was a heteros or a hybrid gospel, they received a hybrid life. And they believed in a different Jesus altogether. Not the Jesus Paul preached, not the Jesus Brother Branham preached. They've got a oneness Jesus or a Trinity Jesus. In plain English, they were preaching a different Jesus, not just one of a different nature, but a totally different one altogether. And because they are preaching this different Jesus, the spirit which they receive is of a different nature. And thus, the gospel, although they use the same terms, it becomes one of a different nature altogether. What had taken place is the original seed word was mixed with another seed and perverted the message by hybriding it to become a different message. And thus the life that was in the original was gone and replaced by another spirit or another life, one of a different nature. Therefore, it is not the Holy Spirit that they have. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, what is it? It's the unholy spirit. You see? It's the corrupter of life. So we see that Paul was warning the people that it was not a different message altogether that they were being removed to, but it was the same message, only it had a different nature because it had been perverted from the message that he had first preached to them or presented to them. And if Alpha has become Omega, as Brother Branham warned us it would, then the same thing has taken place in this hour. The message has become perverted, and it no longer has the same pure nature as it was taught by William Branham. But there is a perverted nature that has taken over the message, where most of the people are oneness in their thinking, and they think that they can live just any form of life and still make it. Now, you can't lay those bad teachings on William Branham, because he flatly denied he was oneness, and yet they're teaching that today. And he taught a message of separation from the world, and he taught us holiness in the presence of God. But what do they teach? They teach it's all right to be worldly. It's all right to be have the cares of this life. So Paul said they were already preaching a variant message back in the Alpha Church. Then it's no surprise when Brother Branham, before he left the scene, he told a brother, he said, I know that there are already 17 versions or variants of the message being preached today. And that was in 1965, more than 40-some years ago. So in getting back to what Paul said in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. Then to make sure that he was fully understood, he says again in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be cursed. Pretty strong words, you know. Very strong words. Notice here the Apostle Paul is making it pretty clear that any other gospel is a perverted gospel if it is not presented in the same nature as what he had already preached. And then he tells us why in verse 10. He says, for do I now persuade men? or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now that's a pretty important statement he's making there. Because it flies in the face of all those who would use the pulpit to make gain for themselves and try to attract men to themselves rather than to God. He says, if I please men, then I should not be the servant of Christ. What if you're trying to please yourself? You're not the servant of Christ. Now, he's not saying that I should not be a servant of Christ if I please men, as though it is up to him whether he should be or not. No, that's a bad translation. Rather, what Paul is saying is that if I please men rather than God, then I would not be the servant of Christ. You see, you can please God, and it'll also please some men. Brother Branham's life was very pleasing to God. It's also very pleasing to those who look upon it. But if his intentions were to please men, he would not have been pleasing to God. Because you cannot serve both God and men. And since it is not our message to begin with, then we would be found not saying what God said. Therefore, it's either God's message you're preaching and believing, or it's man's. Take your pick. Because in verse 11 he says, But I certify you, brethren. That means, I've made you fully aware, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, or that gospel that came out from me, is not after man. For I neither received it of man, or out from man, neither was I taught it by man, but by the revelation. That word is apocalypsis, which means the appearing, or the unveiling of Jesus Christ. So God himself appeared to Paul, and God himself gave him the message. So Paul tells us that the gospel he was preaching was not made known to him by reading his Bible, nor did it come from some man somewhere, but he got it directly from Jesus Christ who appeared to him. And the same with William Branham. He didn't get it by some great effort that he made studying books and things. He got it by God himself appearing to him and revealing his message to him. Now that brings us to Romans 10. You know, the fundamentalist believes that all he has to do is to make an oral confession that Jesus is the Son of God, and he's saved, and he's filled with the Holy Ghost. But notice that they will not, they'll read Romans 10, verses 9 to 10, but they don't go back to Galatians 1 and 8, which speaks of the word which Paul preached that has a curse placed upon it, that whosoever deviates one iota from it and produces another nature in the way they present it, there's a curse upon them or her. So in Romans 10, verse 9, we read that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And they say, that's it. That's all we got to do. I believe Jesus. 22 years ago, on August 4th of 19 whatever, I confessed that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by God. That means I'm saved, does it? Is that what Paul says? Is that all he says? Okay, if we really want to understand what Paul is saying here, we need to continue reading. In verse 11 it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Well, you know, if I dress that way, people are going to make fun of me. You're not saved. You're not saved. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. O God of the Baptists, you're not saved. O God of the Pentecostals, you're not saved. You see? What is the name of the Lord? You see, this is where the fundamentalist stops reading, because he believes that calling upon the Lord is the confession that is being made. But Paul clarifies to us that just not any calling will do. For in the next verse he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now, this is a good question because he's telling us that they could be calling and yet not really be believing or not even knowing who they're calling. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now, what if they have heard that other gospel that Paul was speaking about in the book of Galatians, that other Jesus? Then they're going to call out to him. If they believe in that other gospel of that different nature, then what nature do you suppose they would be receiving? The correct nature, which is the nature of God? I don't think so. And so he answers the question, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, that's a very good question. How can they hear if there be not a preacher to speak the word with the right nature? But Paul is not finished here, for he asks yet another question. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So we see Paul answer the question. He asks the question, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And this is the most important question of all, because what if they were not sent? And they went preaching anyway. Then whose message are they preaching? You see, a messenger receives a message. Then his job is to declare what he heard. Well, what if you run without a message? Then you get there, the words you speak, they're not from the source, are they? They're not from the right source. It's like that man in the times of David, when David's son Absalom was killed. And so they sent back a messenger by foot, running. And another man that was faster than he, he went running back and got there to David first. And when the king said, "What's up?" he said, "All is well." Not much of a message. Then the other man got there. And David said, "What's your message?" He said, "What about my son?" He said, "May all your enemies be as he is." You see, he brought the right message. He brought the truth. The other guy got tongue-tied. He ran without a message. Brother Bram preached that, running without a message. Then whose message are they preaching? The God of their imagination. If it's not God that sent them, then who sent them? Because the one who sends them, it is that one's message that they'll be preaching. If they're sent by their denomination, they're going to preach that denominational message. If they're sent by a man, they're going to make sure they're pleasing to that man that sends them. That's why if you're called by God, you're not sent by anyone but God himself. And you cannot let anyone interfere with what you're doing but God himself. Because the one who sends them, it's that one's message they're preaching. And if they were not sent by God and went on their own accord, then it will be their own message they'll be preaching. And there's no life in it at all. So you see how important it is that God sends out somebody. Because if he does not send out a man, then the man the people are listening to is preaching a message which is not God's message, but a message which is his own understanding. And if so, then it is of another nature. And if so, then the people that will believe it are believing a perverted gospel. And if so, then they will be calling out to a false God. And if so, then they'll be believing in a false hope. And thus, when they call upon God to save them, they're calling out to the wrong God. Then the true God won't be hearing them. Therefore, you might as well just shut off your radios, because these men on the radios are preaching another Jesus. Oh, they might have a point here and a point there that are all right. But the greatest lie is one that's 99% true, and one deviation off is Satan's kingdom. He He says in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Well, you know, that food was really, really, really good. It tasted good. However, it had a little bit of cyanide in it. Just a little bit. Just enough to kill the man. But it sure tastes good. You see? They had made a porridge out of a bunch of poisonous gourds. And there was death in the pot. One word off is death in the pot. One word off, one added chemical, the wrong one, the deadly one, is going to kill you. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our message? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yet verily their sound went forth into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. So the question still remains, did they actually hear what was being said, or just the sounds that were made? And so we see in this verse of Scripture that we have taken for our text this evening, that we must first look at this word confession that is spoken of here, for in this scripture, we are told, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And in this is made a promise that there is a certain benefit that we shall receive. And in this case, it happens to be that God will dwell in him, and he in God. So we must examine what it means to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. For in knowing what this confession is all about, we will also understand why God will come into them that make this confession. And will also avoid the trap that has been beset, or that has beset so many fundamentalists into believing that their confession is merely some magical words that are said by the believer. Like hocus pocus. Now the word confess was translated from the Greek word homologio or homologos. And just about all Christians know the word logos speaks of the word of God. We know that in the beginning was the logos and the logos was God. So we see that this word for confession is made from two Greek words, of which one is the word logos, which speaks of the word. Now the first part of this two-part word is homo and then logio. And it's a Greek word homo, and it does not mean homosexual. It simply means the same. We use it in the English language as a prefix with many words. We say homocentric, which means having the same center, or homogamous, which is used in botany and means having one kind of flower or the same kind of plant, or homogenous, which means having similar nature and comes from two words, homo meaning the same, and genus, which speaks of genes. So it speaks of having the same genes. So you see the word homologio or logos means having the same word. So if we're to read this verse of Scripture correctly, we must read it as follows. Whosoever shall call upon the same words and say the same words that Jesus is the Son of God, God will dwell in him and he in God. Now it says whosoever will say the same words, and we must know who first said those words. And then we have a clue as to the author of those words and thus whose life is expressed in those words. For Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Then really what we're essentially and intrinsically doing here is what we think in our minds or our heart. And what we do must first come out from what we think. And then when we do what we think, it brings our thoughts into some form of expression. So when we read the statement, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, we are thus saying, whosoever shall think and thus say the same word that God said about him and that he said about himself. And what is the word we must think and thus say? That Jesus is the Son of God. He's not one like your fingers one. He's the Son of God. Now, William Branham taught us that confession means to say the same thing. And the reason he could tell us that is not because he was a prophet, nor is it because he just arbitrarily decided to call it that And we must believe it because he was, because he was vindicated. But the reason he could say that is because that Greek word homologio means, it says the same word, same thing. So confession means to say the same thing. Now in a sermon, Christ, Brother Branham said, you're not using your own thoughts, you're using his thoughts. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. See, thinking his way of thinking. Say what he says. Confession means to say the same thing. Confess is to confess the same thing. Say the same thing. Then don't confess your own mental conception. Be born again and confess his word. Confess what he said. That's confession. Say, by his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I have a right. By his wounds right now I have a right for salvation. I have a right for the Holy Spirit. He promised it to me. Said, it's in you and your children and them that is afar off and as many as the Lord our God shall call. I believe it. It's for any generation. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He died that he might raise again and be with his church all the way to the end of the world to confirm the word with signs following. How far was that to be? He said, all the world. Go ye. Did it end with the apostles? Mark 16 said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's never met there yet, but about one third of it. So God is depending on us. And again, from his sermon, Be Not Afraid, Brother Branham said, told us how to say the same word. He said, I just believe the word and just stay right with the word. And any level thinker will know that that word is right. It's got to be right. See? And I don't put any interpretation to it. Do we? When we read it, do we say it means this? Or do we say it means what he said it means? I just try to read it the way that it reads. Then I say the same thing. That's confessing. Confess means the same thing. When the Bible says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or when the Bible says, to the God, blessed be to the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That tells us that Jesus has a God who is his Father. When Jesus cries on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That tells us Jesus had a God. Read it like he said it. Well, the King James puts it profession, but profess and confess means the same thing, see? So then to confess, that means to say the same thing he did. By his stripes I am healed. I'm confessing, see? I'm confessing the same thing that he said. See, I'm making a confession. That's what it is in the court. You have to say the same thing. Now I am to my great high priest, for he sits at the right hand of the majesty to make intercession upon my confession. So when the Baptist says, well, I confess Jesus Christ that he's the Son of God, so what? Say it the way Jesus said it. Say it the way God said it. Say it the way Paul said it, because he said, if anybody says it any other way, let him be cursed. God doesn't care what your confession is or what you confess with your mouth. He cares that you say the same thing he said. And if your confession is what he said, then he promised you certain things. He said that God will be in you and his life will be in you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask you, Lord, to confess, to say the same thing that you said about your Son. The same thing your Son said about his relationship with you. Father, we don't care what the world thinks. Help us to only care what you think. Because your word is expressed. Your thoughts were expressed in your word. All we have to do is just simply read your word and we know what your thoughts are. Help us then, Father, to get our own thinking aside. And help us to receive, thus saith the Lord, and the very life that is in it. In Jesus' name we pray. May enter into us. Amen. God bless you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And give thee peace, and give thee peace,
peace forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee